The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, 65, chapter 65, 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered but a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and have another inhabit, and they shall not plant and have another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people be. That's poetic, isn't it? And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord.
I can look forward to good things ahead, just like our scripture today. In 1971, John Lennon recorded the song Imagine that I think all of you probably have heard. Imagine that there's no heaven, it begins, and it sounds very sacrilegious. Imagine that there's no religion, he says later on. He goes on to say, no hell, no countries, no possessions, everyone living together for peace, for today, no greed, no hunger, no war. He says he's a dreamer. He says he's one of many that are out there. And he wants others to join him. What might seem sacrilegious is actually a future plan. A future plan not so much dissimilar to what we heard today at the second to last chapter of Isaiah. What John imagines is like what God imagines. If you read the end of Revelation, it says that there'll be no need for assemblies like this, because constantly you would be in worship. Worship all the time, day and night. The sun will provide everything that is needed for everyone in existence. God is busy, busy creating this world, recreating this world. As it says, beginning in verse 17. It's interesting that he mentions sickness and children dying, something that we are not used to here in the 21st century with our medical technology and innovations. Thank God for them. People do live relatively long lives, longer than ever before, and they're living longer each and every year. But in ancient days, children did die frequently. One out of every four births did not survive. Women often died in childbirth. People who were in the middle age of life nowadays would have been old timers back then. Such is the significance of what Isaiah is anticipating. A little bit of scholarship for you. This last portion of Isaiah is actually the third Isaiah, as scholars say. Scholars believe that the book of Isaiah was written in three different time periods. And so this part, these last 15 chapters or so of Isaiah were written after the exile, after all those people, if you remember a few weeks back talking about the exile. Well, now they're back. Now they're back in Israel, and they're looking around and they're said, this really wasn't as great as we were told. But nevertheless, God wanted them to build, to plant, to make it great again. Basically, to plan ahead, even just to look ahead just a little bit. Last week, Ken mentioned soldiers who are having problems with hopelessness. It's a growing, persistent problem. This week, I was dismayed to learn of a young person here in this community who took his own life. And when people are at this point, they feel hopeless. They feel hopeless, and they don't make a lot of plans for the future. They don't tend to look ahead. They don't see much point in it. Perhaps, though, if we were to make a practice of looking ahead, of planning ahead, it would help us in our own disparity, in our own hopelessness that we might experience in our own hearts, and might help others around us if they see us as an example of looking forward, of taking maybe even just a little bit of these words that we heard today to heart. Rachel Marie Martin is a modern day author. She is a blogger. She has written a lot. She's a self-help person. She has undergone a great deal of adversity in her life. I think she has 7 children. I believe that she's a single mother. She believes, as she says, in living each day intentionally, she says. She loves to help other people cultivate a vision in helping them to achieve their dreams about their lives. A quote from her says this: sometimes you have to let go of the picture of what you thought life would be like and learn to find joy in the story that you are actually living today. Wise words. The people of Israel were looking around, and it wasn't exactly what they hoped. Maybe you are in a stage of life where you're looking around and things didn't turn out the way that you had planned or the way that you thought. Maybe when you were young, you said at 25 or at 30, at 45, whatever age that you are, that you would be at a certain place in life. And well, things didn't go as planned. Maybe you're one of many people who have lost someone significant to them. Maybe you have lost your health a little bit. Maybe you've lost a spouse. Maybe you had a rough time lately. Maybe you don't see a way ahead in your life. Maybe it's time to take these words to heart. Time to let go of the vision of whatever you had in store for your life, the plans that you had. Embrace the vision of what God has for your life. God has a vision for your life, each and every one of you. God has a vision for the world, and what that vision is always better. It's always better. I guarantee it. The Bible guarantees it. God guarantees it. That what God has in mind for you is better than what we had in mind and what we had planned. It's even better than what we can imagine for our own lives. Trust that. Lean on that. This scripture is one of my favorites in the entire Bible. And we hear it oftentimes in Easter, at Easter time, and it makes sense. This is an Easter text because Easter is the prime example of what God is planning for the world. God plans a new reality, an unbelievable reality, one that wasn't seen as possible. During Jesus' time, resurrection was a debatable topic. Not everyone believed in the resurrection. Not everyone believed that it was a thing. Not everyone believed on what the prophets said about it. The imagery is strong in Isaiah. All these animals, right? Lions and sheep laying together. And I couldn't find our lion, our stuffed lion. Someday we'll find it. So I brought a stuffed tiger from home out of Doug's room. And he's nesting comfortably with our stuffed sheep. Just the kind of thing that doesn't happen, right? Wolves living with sheep. Cats and dogs living together in the wild. It just doesn't happen. Maybe you've gotten out some Christmas decorations. It's okay, even though it's early. Maybe you have one of those little snow globes, one of those little plastic snow globes, right? You shake it up and all the white stuff goes for a couple of minutes. It's what God is doing. It's shaking things up, reclaiming things. It's the effort that's going on all around us. God is still speaking. I love the phrase that we used to have in our denomination. I had a friend of mine talking this week how he misses that. He misses the UCC. He misses talking about how God is still speaking. God is still working as well. God is still in the business of transforming things. This is the goal of our faith effort. This is the purpose of our work, the purpose of our mission, the purpose of your lives is to change. That's the goal of Christianity, to change your hearts, to change the hearts of those around you, to change the world itself. It's not just the reclamation of our individual souls, although sometimes that's work enough. It's all of creation. Since the beginning of time, you've heard of the historical adage that history is written by those who are victorious. God has been victorious through Jesus Christ, and God is rewriting history. God is rewriting the history of your hearts, of your lives. The final chapter has not been written yet. Redemption can be the last chapter, the last significant big story of your life if you accept it. The ancient historians, Justin Martyr, Origen, Ambrose, Augustine, if you're a historian, if you're a bit of a religious scholar, all agree that Isaiah envisions God's eventual revelation in Jesus Christ. The book of Isaiah is quoted more often in the New Testament by far than anywhere else, and by far by Jesus Christ more than any other prophet. A new creation has been presented to us in the gospel story of Jesus Christ, a final report of God's purpose for our world. It's not imaginary. It's not a fantasy story. It's not pure fiction, but it is imaginative. Not imaginary, but imaginative, because we must imagine something different. Are we up to it? Do we share God's vision? God wants to pull us out of our present world with all the problems, with all the issues, and move us towards the direction of another lifestyle, a brand new world. What do you need to be pulled out of? despair? What issue, what grief in your life? Is it guilt? Is it isolation? Is it loneliness? Is it anger, frustration, fear of something? Set it aside. Sacrifice it. All these things that we hang on to are impediments. Sometimes you must give up something to experience the joy of God's reimagined world, a world of wholeness, wholeness through healing, through peace, through the recreation of identities as children of God. I like to keep that in mind about each and every person that I see and run into, even difficult people. They are children of God. You want to reconcile with somebody? If you're having problems with somebody, think of them the next time you go into work or you see them, that they too are children of God. It helps. It helps. God sees them as children too. It's difficult to treat someone poorly when thinking of them as God's child. It's hard. You want to think of yourself better? Do the same thing. You are a child of God, a blessed child of God, baptized child of God, like Aniston, loved by the Almighty, the Maker, the powerful Maker of all that there is. Let's pray. Let's pray and ask God this morning to open our minds and our hearts to new possibilities. Holy God, reclaim us this morning. Reclaim us as your children of peace, of reconciliation. We want to be a part of it. We want to be a part of what you're doing all around us, creating a new world. We want to be on that holy mountain. Give us that vision of a healthy and prosperous world. A healthy and prosperous life. Remove our narrow views of all the limits that we place in the way. Help us to look ahead. Help us to plan ahead so that we can claim our place as part of your holy work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.